27 degrees in Kalamazoo. How to introduce my guest? Her name is Dr. Kimberly Dunn Adams. She is director of choral studies at Western Michigan University. And choral music has lived and grown and been performed during these tough pandemic months on campus at Western Michigan University. But they've gone so much beyond that idea of simply putting together a program and rehearsing the pieces. We're about to find out about the Choir for Good now, and I'd like to welcome you back to WMUK. It's been a while, Dr. Adams, Kim. Thank you so much for joining me on the radio here on Classical WMUK.
Thank you for having me. Last time I was in here, we were talking about how the choirs were all split into chamber groups of eight and what sort of COVID safety procedures were going to be in place for all of our fall rehearsals.
That was the big question. Now, this was early September,
yeah.
And things were still up in the air, figuring things out. And outdoors, I remember, was like one of the first things. Well, obviously, it's much safer to sing outdoors, so let's do that.
Yeah, and in fact, we rehearsed right outside WMUK's door for September and October.
The natural amphitheater space.
Yes.
yep. So you made the best of the situation. And from there, of course, things got colder. Mm-hmm. Indoor rehearsing, was that possible?
We did a small amount of indoor rehearsing in the fall, but for the most part, we stayed outdoors as long as we could. By the end of it, we had, you know, coats, hats, and gloves. And then after that, about mid-November, we transitioned to fully online and even did some synchronous singing together online, which will continue through a project that we're doing with a company called Deck 10 in April. And they're essentially creating a platform that allows the choir to sing together over the internet.
I've heard there's issues with that.
There sure are.
with most programs, like popular programs like Zoom or WebEx, it's one at a time. You can't really hear a choral sound.
Yes, and that's because most programs like Zoom or WebEx, they prioritize voices. They essentially choose the loudest voice, and that's the voice that everybody hears, which is, you know, it is what it is. But the program that we were singing on, we tried two different programs. It actually just allowed everybody to sing with the same volume. We did balance checks to make sure that all the voices were heard equally. We still had to deal with internet latency issues, meaning if somebody's on a slower internet connection, their sound's going to come in, you know, 2 seconds later than everybody else. But we were actually singing repertoire that was written for that environment. And so that was in December. We'll pick that up again in April. And in fact, the student that's going to join us later in this hour wrote one of the pieces that we are singing.
That's what I'm learning from looking at your posts and the materials for the Choir for Good. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of student-led initiative here.
Yeah, so we're reduced to 30 minutes of singing at a time for COVID safety. And the choirs at Western normally rehearse, I would say between, so campus choir rehearses for 2 hours a week. University chorale meets 5 days a week. And if we're reduced to 30 minutes of singing and we only get to do it 2 days a week, in the fall, I saw each chamber group one time per week, then it means that we get to spend the other time, our non-singing time, really thinking about music in different ways. And so in the fall, we tied all of the music that we were rehearsing in person to societal issues, issues that our communities face. And then the students researched nonprofit charitable organizations that addressed those issues. And so we spent the time that we had together, that was where we were not allowed to be singing, we spent it trying to figure out a way that music could connect in other ways to really important causes. Right now, so many people are hurting. So many people's basic needs are not being met. And we wanted our singing to help change that. And so the project was born out of that idea that music, you know, music makes us feel good. It shows us who we are. It shows us who we want to be. Mm. But I think music is also a really important agent of change. And so with that in mind, we picked nonprofits. The students, of course, researched their composers in depth and researched the poets in depth. They looked at the historical context and musical analysis of the pieces. They did their own translations for pieces that were in foreign languages. Then they discussed as groups what societal issues each piece addressed. Then they researched different nonprofits, giving priority to local organizations. And they had to fill out a rubric that it ranked the charities on locality. Were they close to us or far away? It ranked the charities in terms of charity ratings. So they had to figure out how to read and understand charity rating websites, such as like Charity Navigator. And then I also had them draw up the 990 tax forms for these nonprofits. And now I'm not great at teaching about taxes. I am a musician, but we went through the basics as to what the form was, what it meant, what sort of red flags one would look for when going through a 990. And so in that, we discussed budgeting and salaries. We discussed governance structure. We also looked at the websites and impact of each charity. So for instance, students had to research the diversity and inclusion statements for charities. If there was not one listed, we did not choose to support that particular organization. And then we also looked for the mission statement, diversity and inclusion statement, and how that played out in each charity's work. What is the impact of the work they're doing? Not just what they're saying, but what they're doing. And then we contacted them. And now we've published this program, which is available online as a Choose Your Own Adventure. Mm-hmm. It's an interactive PDF that has performance videos embedded, as well as donation links and information about each one of the charities we picked. And so if you go online to the Choir for Good program, you can page through the program, and I encourage you to look at every performance and read every program note that the students wrote. But you can also just flip through. If your son or daughter is in the program, go ahead and flip through to their page, but please donate to one of the charities. Pick a cause and do some good.
We are going to hear some of the highlights from this interactive program. The actual performance is recorded by the sub-choirs that were able to prepare and record the pieces that mean so much to them now, because they've thoroughly thought about the poetry and the meaning of the words, what the music expresses, and then tied it to an organization that is helping people in some way or another. Let's remind listeners that the link to this interactive online issue or program is easily found, probably best found right now through the Facebook page. It's WMU Choirs on Facebook, and it's the top article there. I need to ask you about how you landed on Choir for Good. I do like the title. I mean, I like simplicity, and nothing is simpler than Choir for Good.
So it's a little bit of a play on words. This idea has been in my head for several years. I attended the wedding of some close friends, and their wedding favors, you could choose which charity you wanted to support. Each favor was a little coin, and that was the seed of this. But this fall and last summer and this time last year, all of the people in the choral community were wondering if when the pandemic was done, would choir still exist? Would it still be important? People were truly afraid about the future of choral music because the initial articles came out saying that it was so unbelievably dangerous.
They did. They really did.
And I mean, people were terrified that their choirs would fold. And so the first play on words is that this is a statement that, you know, yes, we were outside. Yes, we were in groups of eight. We were standing 10 feet apart. We were singing with masks, which is not fun, I will add. But choir is here for good. It's not going anywhere. Choir is here for good. It's too important. And then the second play is a little more obvious, which is that choir can do good. It stands for good. And so the simplicity of it is also a little play on words, that choir's a forever thing, mm-hmm. and choir is intended to create a positive difference in the world.
You know, I do. You're bringing back a lot of memories of before the pandemic began. You and I would often talk about the surprising benefits of singing together. Mm. There's so much more than just enjoying music.
yeah.
It's almost a vehicle to better mental health, better community, and just the activity does great things for you physically and mentally.
Yeah, it was crushing for so many of us to see to hear. That this thing that is so good for us is also so dangerous at a time like this.
Right. It looks like we may be turning a corner, but I have to say congratulations to you and especially the students who powered through a year by taking time that you were not allowed to sing and putting that time into something so positive. The research, the ideas that they came up with. Each one of these performances is a jewel, and we're going to hear one now. You picked out a song by Missy Mazzoli.
Yes.
She is currently a composer on fire right now with her
Incredible
output. Operas,
mm-hmm.
And choral. Did she start in the choral world? Do you know?
You know, I don't believe so. She did write a choral piece for our piano teacher when we were growing up. Sorry, we went to the same high school.
Oh, my.
But
you and Missy?
Yeah. But I don't believe that choral music was her primary medium. This piece was written for Roomful of Teeth, which is a really unique ensemble. They were here in Kalamazoo a few years ago. Roomful of Teeth sings amplified, all new music. They use experimental vocal techniques. And so often their music will involve overtone singing and yips and growls and yodeling and just vocal extended technique. And you actually hear some of that in this piece. It's not that often that collegiate groups take on the same kind of repertoire that Roomful of Teeth does. But this particular piece really... I think it really fit this group of students. So this particular piece was inspired by Sardinian Su Cantua Tenori singing, and you'll hear some yodeling. You'll hear lines that are like imaginary bird song, and it's just a phenomenal, phenomenal piece. Much of it is just random nonsense syllables, but you'll hear text appear about halfway through from the book Great Guns. The text is just beautiful.
You'll find a link to this interactive program where you can turn pages and listen to music at the WMU Choir's Facebook page. We're going to hear this piece now, and hopefully we'll bring in one of the students by phone to talk about, you know, how it what it was like for him to participate in this and bring it to fruition as well. But here is Vesper Sparrow, written by Missy Mazzoli and performed by the University Chorale's Achilles Feel, which is a self-titled eight-member vocal ensemble. Here it is.
Oh.
We heard Missy Mazzoli's Vesper Sparrow in a performance by a sub-choir of the University Chorale. And I should not use the word sub. That doesn't seem right at all. It's an eight-person choir called Achilles Feel. And one of the singers that we just heard is now with us on the line, a Western Michigan University student named Jack Reeves. Thank you for joining us here on Classical WMUK, Jack.
Absolutely. Thank you for having me.
Can I congratulate you on the sound of this music? This is the first time I've heard it. It's flawless, really beautiful, and I just want to hear the story of how you went from maybe we can't sing at all to producing a beautiful sounding track and then folding it into a better cause. Could you, that's a big question, but go ahead and tell us what you can.
Yeah, absolutely. So of course, when we entered the semester with varying degrees of uncertainty as towards what approach we would have to be performing and putting works like this together in chorale this year, it was incredibly rewarding in a musical sense and even as an artist, as a person, to work on a project with such meaning behind it. So when we entered and we knew that we would be singing in chamber ensembles, there was already this sense of importance in individual work that was kind of different from past years in the sense that for the most part, you are your section in these smaller choirs. When there's up to eight parts of divisi, nobody else is really singing. So you have to be prepared to fully know your work, which was really, really exciting to me. And I feel like that was the case to most of us. So when we were handed this piece in particular, I remember all of us being very excited. Personally, Missy Mazzoli is one of my favorite composers of all time, and Roomful of Teeth is one of my favorite ensembles of all time. So to know that we were doing a piece written by them, I mean written for them by Mazzoli, I was thrilled. So to then take our more classical approaches to singing and to explore some of these extended techniques and a very different, bright, guttural sound at times, it was very, very exciting to work with everybody to develop that sound and to work on this piece. And ultimately, I feel like we are all incredibly happy with what came together musically. We were able to explore these developments in tone and technique that we might not have had originally, and to make sure we're prepared with them at a very individual level.
And what part did you sing, by the way, Jack?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I was on the baritone part for this piece. I'm traditionally a tenor, but this piece is written for one tenor and two basses and one baritone. So it was really exciting, actually, to explore that lower range of my voice and to yodel and create registers that I wasn't really familiar with prior in my voice. So, yeah, it was very, very exciting in that sense, vocally. And then when you look at the elements of taking this for good element and looking at organizations, at first when we listened to the piece and we analyzed the text, we saw a lot of ambiguity and a lot of themes of vulnerability and the general human experience. So what we did is we spent time researching a lot of the work that Missy Mazzoli does and what causes she likes to bring attention to. And one project in particular that has been ongoing with another composer is the Luna Composition Labs. Essentially, she runs this lab where they provide mentorship and resources to young women composers and composers of non-binary gender identities, in which they can have mentorship from people who represent themselves. Because in composition, you often don't get that mentorship and representation when it's such a male-dominated field. So we wanted to take that inspiration and look for local organizations which provided opportunities to different LGBTQIA-identifying people. And so that drew us to Out Front Kalamazoo. And it has been incredibly rewarding to know that we are providing these resources, not only just drawing attention to these causes, but providing a direct route of action for the listeners to take should they feel that motivation. So, yeah, it's been incredibly exciting to do the research behind the nonprofit organization. I mean, I've never analyzed nonprofit tax forms or really tax forms at all until this year, and I can't say it's something I was expecting, but I am incredibly grateful to have had the opportunity and hope that I will be putting it to work in the near future again.
Jack Reeves is a member of the music school at Western Michigan University, a member of the university chorale, and part of Achilles Feel, which is the 8-person group that put together the song we heard, Vesper Sparrow by Missy Mazzoli, and then researched a local organization, Out Front Kalamazoo, thoroughly in order to endorse their mission and bring the music and the mission together. Dr. Adams was talking about the assignments she gave you and tax forms. And Jack, I was just wondering, is that anything you might do again in the future as your, as a performer? Or are you also a composer? Are you involved in making music and activism come together at all? And do you think you will in your future?
Absolutely. I feel like this has been almost a wake-up call and a means of providing resources for helping us understand how best we can connect our music to activism down the line. As a composer and as a performer, like, I certainly plan on using these resources and these tools that we've gained through analyzing and working with nonprofits and making more direct calls to action with our music. I certainly hope that I could potentially one day either provide these types of resources to composers in need of representation or resources, and I hope to provide through my music and concerts that I might work with direct calls to action outside of the emotional motivation that these themes causes, being able to directly give organizations that work towards working against these injustices is incredibly meaningful. It provides that direct call to action. So I certainly feel that I will be using these skills down the line once again. And I am very, very grateful for that.
Would you share with me and our listeners what year you are in at Western and where you hail from? Are you from Kalamazoo or somewhere beyond?
Yeah, I actually come from the Grand Rapids area, and this is my second year right now at Western Michigan University.
Sophomore year. Wonderful. Dr. Adams is here nodding along. Do you think Jack represents the attitude, the enthusiasm of the members of the program?
I think so. I'm just going to say it on air. Jack is an exceptional human being, and I'm really looking forward to premiering one of the works that he wrote for choir later on this semester.
Oh, Jack, tell us about that.
Yes, I would be happy to. So initially, we were concerned, of course, when the pandemic started, and we thought we would be at home for a couple of weeks, and it turned into a few months, and here we are today. We didn't necessarily know what resources we might have to continue performance, but I had the incredible opportunity with a collaboration between the choirs and the composition studio here at Western to develop vocal pieces that could be performed through a virtual medium and performed synchronously online. So, of course, we had to keep in mind right off the bat that these pieces would not necessarily be in sync or in time. And so that provided me the opportunity to explore really dense textures with a lot of divisi all in proportional meter. So rather than following a specific beat, you just have time on top of the staff and you follow by scale based on where the seconds are, and you try to listen to other parts that are going on to see where you are. And I feel like the indeterminacy of that piece was something that I wouldn't have been able to explore, let alone have performed at this point in my academic studies, without the guidance and opportunities that provided themselves. So it's something that came out of really unfortunate circumstances that provided a lot of development to me as a composer. And I feel like it was really rewarding to work on both virtually and in person over the past couple of weeks. As a choir, I feel like exploring this more abstract repertoire has been very, very exciting on behalf of me and all of the other composers. It's been a wonderful, wonderful experience.
That is something we can look forward to in April. Mm-hmm. I understand. What feeling do you get when you open the interactive program? I'm looking at it right now, Jack, and every time I turn a page, there's the text of the song. There's an introduction to the composer and why she or he or they wrote the song. And then there's a video, and then there's also a donate button for a specific charity. What do you think? Have you flipped through this yourself? Are you sick of it, or is this something you feel like?
Oh, I've probably flipped through it about 3 times in the last day, honestly. It's incredibly emotional, honestly, to flip through it, because not only is it so very brilliantly designed, it looks wonderful, and it's very accessible to flip through and to see the organizations and to read through the text, but to know that the vast majority of that text was written by students who had this opportunity and motivation to explore these calls to action and to describe the music from a critical eye in only so many words. It was really, really a great opportunity. So to see it come to completion like this is definitely fantastic.
I want listeners to know that there is no paywall or any other barrier to accessing this interactive program. And possibly the easiest way to get there is by visiting WMU Choirs on Facebook and looking at the top article right there in the message. There is a link to this interactive program that's really hard. It's so much more than that. So I feel like I'm not doing it justice with the interactive program. Jack, I want to congratulate you on a terrific accomplishment in a tough time. And I'm really glad to hear that, you know, you feel that you grew in unexpected ways as a performer, composer, and general human being, it sounds like. Mm-hmm. Well done.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate it.
Dr. Adams, let's move on to another piece of music. And I have here a setting of Psalm 23.
Yes.
Would you introduce that?
Oh, absolutely. And before we move on, I just want to make sure I say a few words about Out Front, because I do want to make sure we center the organizations that are in the program. So the last piece, Vesper Sparrow, is supporting Out Front Kalamazoo, which most people know is the organization that puts on Pride. But they also have peer support groups, a website with resources, including job opportunities. They do workplace trainings. They run a blog and a YouTube channel. The executive director, Amy Hunter, is a transgender woman. It's an amazing organization that builds community in Kalamazoo and provides a safe space for LGBTQIA+. So I wanted to make sure that I put that plug in there for that organization. Mm-hmm. The next piece, the 23rd Psalm, written by Bobby McFerrin, is a really unique piece. Bobby McFerrin dedicates the piece to his mother, and it's clearly influenced by Anglican chant. It's an entirely homophonic texture, meaning all of the words are sung at exactly the same time by the choir. And most notably, in this piece, Bobby McFerrin refers to God using feminine pronouns. And so the performers of this piece wanted it to support the Kalamazoo YWCA, which is an organization that fills some service gaps in our community, particularly for children and women of color.
Let's hear this performance and know that you can access the full program with all the performances and all of the deeply felt program notes and links to local charities by visiting the WMU Choir page on Facebook. I'm with Dr. Kimberly Dunn Adams, and thank you to Jack Reeves, Western sophomore, for his thoughts on participating in this. Here's Psalm 23, Bobby McFerrin.